Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you, 844-326-3663, is the number to be a part of the radio broadcast. You can call that number. You'll get to not only have a lovely conversation with the Great Milonzo, ask him how he's doing, tell him you think he's wonderful at his job, make him blush. He loves a good compliment. Just over-compliment him. He loves it. But then...
Yeah, if you want me to mess up the rest of the show, compliment me.
Then we'll put you on the air, and we can talk about whatever you want. You can also text that number, 844-326-3663. It is the number to the Hub City Spartanburgers text line. You text that number. We will read that number on the radio broadcast and respond to it in real time. You can also tweet me at The Rob Brown Show. Tweet him at Lonzo on Word. Tweet our buddy up in the hizzy at The Fan Upstate. Here's what we got coming up in this hour. I'm going to spend a few minutes here talking Clemson football. We talked a lot of Gamecock football in the last hour.
You know, you've teased that all day.
And I'm doing it now.
I wish that there was a way that I could divert to where you wouldn't do it so you wouldn't talk about Clemson for the entire show.
There's not. It's happening now.
That would be, for me.
You're doing it right now. Stop.
And for others.
Stop. I'm doing it right now. Next segment of the show, Fight Club with the Great Milonzo. We'll check in on the world of professional wrestling, MMA, boxing, whatever combat sports may or may not be in the news. And then we will wrap the show up with the little baseball talk. The NL and ALCS both underway. Toronto beating the dog snot up out of the Mariners last night. Just when I thought I knew what was happening in the world of baseball, it's like a damn TV show. Just plot twist. Turns out, no, Toronto really is still very good at the baseballing. And NLCS game number 3 back in L.A., today with the Dodgers and the pitching staff that is just out of this freaking world right now. The Dodgers and the Brew Crew, the Dodgers up 2-0 in that series. They win 2 out of 3 at the crib. They're on to the World Series. We'll get back to that at the end of the show. But I do want to talk Clemson right now. And I do want to talk Clemson SMU. But before I get there, I want to, and I don't do this super often because online message boards are not, much like social media itself, is not an accurate representation of the crowd or crew having the conversations on said message boards. When you go look at, and I am talking about social media. I have this conversation with people all the time. Don't get on Instagram, look at other people's lives, and feel like you're coming up short. Because let's be real, what are those people doing? They are only posting the best of the best. For the same reason that I say you can't watch a 30-second highlight package on SportsCenter in the AM and feel like you know what happened in a football game. You can't look at somebody's Instagram page and feel like you got a good handle on what their life is actually like. You just can't. Message boards, kind of the same way. People who pop off on message boards are either the most optimistic or pessimistic people in any given fan base. But I do think every now and then some of them stumble onto a thought that is intriguing, that is interesting to me. There was one that popped up a few days ago on Reddit. I'm a big Reddit guy. I love Reddit because it basically conglomerates news data information from anything, anywhere that you are interested in. It'll just, it's people that also share a passion for that thing, talking about that thing. And I am in, I follow the Clemson Tigers subreddit, which is effectively a place that Clemson fans on Reddit go and they can talk specifically about Clemson football. And there was a post that went up and got a little bit of reaction on the internet earlier this week. And it brought back a talking point, conversation, whatever you want to call it, about Clemson that I have been a hanger-on to for a while. The title of the post, posted by the handle AutomaticGas2085. The title of the post is, Garrett Riley does not watch film, change my mind. The post says, since going to Clemson, Garrett Riley has had the most middle school offense I've ever seen a D1 football program run. The run game is zone left and zone right, no pulling guards, tackles, or tight ends. Quarterback draw left, quarterback draw right, zero creativity on the formations or play design. No heavy package or wildcat, third and four, and he calls a one-yard mesh concept for a one-yard gain over and over again. No deep balls, no one-on-one shots. He does not attack the worst cornerback on the field ever. If he watched film on Georgia Tech, he would have seen their number three cornerback. It's just awful, yet he did not throw at him. If anyone watches the film on North Carolina, they would know that their cornerback number 29 is the worst player on the field. So if he does not attack him, you know Riley just does not watch film or come up with a competent game plan. It's the same crap every single week. Now, I don't think that I would have brought that up. And I don't think I would have brought that up because I disagree with it entirely. And if you've listened to this show specifically during the earlier weeks in the back-to-back L's to Georgia Tech and the Cuse, you will know that I spent a lot of time hanging on a quote, well, not a quote, a paraphrase, from Dabo Swinney from when Garrett Riley got hired. And Dabo got asked, how does Garrett Riley's offense fit with Clemson? And Dabo said something to the effect of, Garrett Riley's not here to run the Garrett Riley offense, he's here to run the Clemson offense. And that, I think, has been a sticking point for me. Because, as I've mentioned, I don't think we've seen the offense evolve from before Garrett Riley. I don't think we've seen the offense evolve since Tony Elliott. And honestly, I don't think we saw the offense evolve all that much when Tony Elliott was in charge. You just had a lot of really talented football players that came through and were able to pretty much make anything work because of how good they were. I wouldn't have brought all that up because, honestly, I just felt like I got to the point where I was beating a dead horse. And while having conversations are important and bringing up opinions are important, the reality of the situation is if you just come on the radio and bring up the same 1, 2, 3 opinions about a football team over and over and over again, to me, it's pretty much proof positive that you don't really care or know ball. So I didn't want to bring it up again because I've hit it 1,000 times. And if there's one thing that I do not want anybody in America to say about Rob Brown, it's that I don't know ball, brother. I'm not looking to get busted up like that. But I saw this on the Reddit post and I was like, all right, let me go see what some of the comments say here. I'm curious. Let me read you a couple of them very quickly. At Groundbreaking Party 9 said, quote, I'll be honest, man, I'm not entirely convinced Dabo was handed over the offense or even allowed it to be changed. Not saying Riley is without fault, but it also seems like we've been running the same offense since 2013 with some minimal differences. Slow Sherbert 52222 responded and said, this is correct, I think. We've had this offensive scheme since well before Riley. At 99CLSMNTGR. Hey, if you hear your screen name shouted out, shoot us a text. Let me know. Yep, since Chad Morris left in 2014, Tony Elliott, Brandon Schroeder, Garrett Riley, it's all the same offense. I've said it on other sites, it bears repeating. You can't hire a hotshot OC and then handcuff him with the Clemson playbook. If we move on from Riley, the new guy needs to be given freedom to coach and be creative. At Green Beans 21, that's Green Beans with a Z, by the way, because creative on the internet. IDK, call me crazy, but I remember watching Tony Elliott and Streeter ball out and we had new plays sprinkled in every other game. This offense is stagnant and has the same plays over and over. Not saying those guys ran anything brand new, but we had new schemes. Riley's offense is all the same as I've seen nothing new. It's hard to watch. And the next response was, quote, you're crazy. Just kidding. I agree that Elliott was more creative, Streeter less so than Elliott, and Riley feels stuck in a stale loop. But It's all 11 personnel outside zone of the shotgun. If Riley was brought in to modernize and update the offense, it certainly does not feel like he's done that. As a matter of fact, it feels regressed and more predictable than Elliott's last season, which also begs the question, the success at SMU and TCU, was it Riley or Sonny Dykes that drove that? And I will say, I think that's very fair. I think that is a very fair question. Was Garrett Riley overhyped? Was Garrett Riley overrated? Was Garrett Riley at TCU taking that team to a national championship and making himself not just the hottest OC candidate at the time that landed up in Clemson, South Carolina, but he was for smaller schools. He was one of the most sought after smaller school head coaching prospects for a minute there. And the belief was, go OC at a bigger school, go succeed at a bigger school, and you will be next in line for a head coaching job down the line. And I believe that was absolutely correct. So, one of the things that I have criticized other head coaches for is when a head coach says, this is my offense, this is my defense, this is my scheme, this is my methodology, my philosophy on the football field. And you bring in other guys, to basically not so much scheme and coordinate, but just call the plays of what I want run. And obviously, when the buck stops at the top with a head coach, James Franklin, it would make sense that they do want some level of control. But the game changes, and teams have to change with it. I have lobbied this criticism at other coaches in the past. When Gus Malzahn was the head coach at Auburn, I had the same problem. Because they had a good run going at Auburn, and then one day, Auburn just kind of fell off the cliff and got stale. They got stale. And Gus Malzahn brought in a few different offensive coordinators. The problem was, it was just the same offense. And not only did they bring in some new coordinators, but when those coordinators started bringing in their guys, they were bringing in guys for their system. But then I frankly think Gus Malzahn had those guys running the Gus Malzahn offense, but with players recruited for other styles of offenses, and it just never worked. And I think that's why Auburn fell off the cliff. And frankly, I think it's why they are where they are now. Now, Gus Malzahn showed up to Florida State, and for the first 3 weeks of the season, Gus Malzahn had an offense that was just chug-a-lugging along. Had it against Alabama. Had it in the two cupcakes they played after that. But in the last 3 weeks, Florida State has lost three in a row to inferior teams, or at least on paper, inferior teams based on what we saw out of FSU early. Now, I will, again, I said, like, I'm not writing FSU off after this past weekend because they were missing Deuce Robinson, who got hurt in the game. They were missing Squirrel White, who got hurt before the game. They were missing their starting tight end. They were missing three of Thomas Castellanos' best four pass catchers. It doesn't shock me all that much that Florida State's offense was kind of bogged down, but I also think that, to some degree, people started looking at Florida State, and they went, yeah, they got some talent, but, like, that's just Gus Malzahn's offense. It's the same one he ran at Auburn. Yeah, there's some wrinkles in it, but it's like the same offense. And I think smart coaches like Pat Narduzzi went, we know how to stop this. Because people were stopping it at Auburn. We'll just go back and that's a big chunk of what's happened to Florida State, in my opinion. I am looking at this, and what I'm intrigued by is not just that is the belief that I have. It apparently is a belief that has at least gained some momentum amongst the Clemson faithful, because this same message board, again, message boards are, they're a dangerous place to form opinions. Because as Cold Take Jim said on the Facebook stream a minute ago, message boards are for fed-ups or diehards. There is no in-between. I agree. There are very few casual fans who spend significant time adding in conversations and message boards. If you're there, it's either because you're furious or because you're just never going to say anything's been bad about your program.
So you're just there to investigate?
I'm just there to see what other people are saying about a program.
Okay.
Don't always agree with it. Sometimes have called it out as a negative, but I'm looking at this now. And here's why it's interesting. Because after the LSU game and after the playoff loss last year, this same message board, and granted, I'm sure some people have come, some people have gone, but it's largely going to be It's largely going to be made up of a lot of folks that stick around because they're just Clemson fans. There's roughly 12,000 people who are regularly active on this board. After the playoff game last year, and after the opening week loss to LSU this year, the criticism and the complaint that I saw was a lot of, we need to fire Garrett Riley. And that was the most popular opinion about the Clemson offense. And what I have noticed is that over the course of this year, and again, acknowledging, and we'll probably do it at least one more time in the segment, acknowledging that online message boards are a place for a very particular type of fan. But I do think there is some connection to the mindset of the fan base at large. And as I look at this, I have watched the topics of conversation on the message board shift from even just a few weeks ago. I have watched the topics of conversation shift from, we need to move on from Garrett Riley, it's this, it's that, it's the other, it's whatever. I have watched those conversations begin to shift to, the offense is stale and it's the same offense we've been running. And if that is your belief, then I do think you now, to some degree, almost have to subscribe to the thought that that's on Dabo. I think you almost, to some degree, have to subscribe to the belief that if this offense is not changing, if it is stale, if it is whatever, there are two reasons that this would be true. The first reason is you just don't have enough talent to run anything other than what the boys have been running the entire time they've been there. You just don't have the talent to change things. And I think after the first 4 weeks of the season, I think there were a lot of you that maybe believe that is the case. Adam Randall took a little while to get going at the running back spot. Cade Klubnik, as we have mentioned a number of times, did not feel like the quarterback that we were sold he was going to be when he started there. I think there are probably a lot of you that believe maybe that is the case. But I go back to the UNC game. I go back to the Boston College game. The two games where Clemson, as far as I'm concerned, followed the script. And in those two games where Clemson, as far as I am concerned, followed the script, what I saw was an offense that, while I'm not going to say was dramatically different, did feel like it was able to be a little bit more wide open. I think a good chunk of that is because, as I said earlier in the week, I thought Cade Klubnik played the best game that he has played in a very long time. I think a big part of that is because, as I have mentioned, Adam Randall certainly looks like he has started to come around as a running back, not a converted wide receiver. And I think because the offensive line, which frankly got absolutely blasted at the line of scrimmage by Georgia Tech, I think they felt a little bit more confident. I think they felt a little bit more comfortable. And I think the results of that, frankly, showed up in those two games. So now, against SMU, and I go back to, let's talk about the difference in statistics. Looking at the rushing defense, SMU, 27th in the country. Looking at the passing defense, SMU, 135th in the country. So if you want this game to go your way, if you want to cover against the second worst passing defense in football, if you want this game to go your way this weekend, I do think the offense has to open up. I do think Cade Klubnik has to be made to look and feel like a stud. I do think the offensive line has to be excellent at pass protection. I do think it is possible. I do think it is probable. I'm picking Clemson to win and cover against SMU. But I do think the offense has to open up. And the fact that at least a decent percentage of the message board diehards are now skimming around and going from, oh, Garrett Riley, he's not the guy we thought he was, he's got to move on, to, yeah, this feels like more of a Dabo problem. If you come out and run the same stale offense that cost you a game against Georgia Tech, against Syracuse, Kevin Jennings can outshoot out you. We'll see what plays out. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on the Hashtag Football Friday Fiesta. But when we come back, a segment I have literally never have and never would forget about. Fight Club with the great Melonzo. We check in on the world of pro wrestling next here on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome into the Fight Club, the most unforgotten segment in the history.
Never once.
Of radio.
Not one time.
Never, ever forgot. All right. There's something that I just saw and I wrote it in. Look, you can see that I wrote it in. I'm showing you. That I wrote it in at the bottom. I don't want you to see what it is, but you can see that I wrote it in. Dom Mysterio was asked about John Cena, and he says he's got 4 dates left. If that old geezer wants me to put a final nail in the coffin, I'll be more than happy to. Would you be okay with Dom Mysterio being the final opponent of John Cena?
The final opponent?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. But
yeah,
somebody has to be. Is it going to be a younger guy that he puts over?
I do think it is going to be a
younger
guy.
You know who's a younger guy that he could put over? Would be that guy.
It is that guy. Here's the thing. I think that when you are looking for, first off, yes, I do think Cena goes out on his back as classic wrestlers do. You use what you built to give the next generation the rub, as we say in the biz. I do think that is what he does. The thing about it is, though, you usually want to do it, I think, and this was always why, like, it wasn't that Undertaker lost the WrestleMania streak at 30. It's how he lost it, and more importantly, it's who he lost it to. Brock Lesnar didn't need a rub. He was like the biggest name in pro wrestling at the time. I don't think, and this is a credit to Dominic Mysterio, I don't think he needs it. Like, that dude right now is the most reacted to, and it's been like at this rate for a couple of years now, he's the most reacted to wrestler in the game. I don't think that you need to. Now, I do think it would be interesting, much as Paul Heyman, when he was the mouthpiece for Brock Lesnar, had the line, I'm the one behind the one in 31-1, and that was a great bar. Yes, Dom could absolutely make it a part of the heel persona that, hey, you young idiots out there, I ended your favorite wrestler of all time's career. I don't think he needs it to generate more heat. I think you strap it onto somebody that you see as a long-term, top-of-the-card main eventer that you push to the next level that can use it. And
so
right now,
you're saying Dom is not that.
I don't think Dom needs it. I think Dom is, again, the most reacted to professional wrestler on the planet right now. I don't think you're going to get him more reacted
to. You don't want to put it on someone who could fail. And I don't think Dom Mysterio, at first I was like, there's no way this kid's going to, he's just here because of his dad. And but he has gotten so much better at everything. I think if you're going to put it, it's either him or Bron Breakker.
I think Bron Breakker is a good one. I'll give you another one. And I've seen him floated a number of times. Buddy of the show, Gunther, is a good pick.
Yeah, that's what Will did, Will pick. On the stream just threw that out there. Yeah,
I think anybody in that category is the way you go here. Somebody that you can see being long-term
Gunther,
main eventer,
Gunther doesn't
but needs
need
the
it
push.
Either.
I would disagree because when Gunther lost to Jay, to me, and it is all subjective, obviously, but to me, that took a lot of shine off the apple for what he could be. I'm not saying he can't lose, but like the way that that match went and he lost, even if it was kind of written into the character, it took the shine off the apple. Could you imagine if you end up having a spot where, and this is what I would do. We don't fantasy book except when we do. Here's what I would do. I would have John Cena state who he wants his last opponent to be. And then that guy disappears backstage, gets the hell beat out of him. And then the next guy, well, if it can't be him, it'll be this guy. And then that guy gets pushed and knocked around. And then the next guy, and he's hurt. And then when you get like a week out from the show, John Cena's like, everybody I name keeps disappearing. Why is this happening? Bang, here comes buddy of the show, Gunther. And what have you made him look like now? That absolutely demonic force of nature that he used to be and isn't anymore.
Well, Dwayne was just on New Heights, and he said that...
No. Whatever it is, no.
He said that John will pick his final
opponent. And I think he will, but I also think that John Cena will pick based on the same line of thinking that we have right now, which is young guy, long-term possibility, needs a little bit of the rub that I will go on my back for. And again, I don't think it's a super long list of candidates.
There's no one. I mean, there's no way he satisfies everybody.
I don't disagree with that.
Someone's going to be upset about the choice no matter what.
I don't disagree with that either.
And there'll be some people who would, why do you lose? Why would you have him lose? And I understand that, but there are some people who will not. All right. I ask you before the show not to remind you of a segment, but just because I had a list that I wanted us to do. And did you do it?
I have four.
Okay.
And only because I'm having a real hard, because there's one spot I want to fill at number five, but I'm really struggling for who it is.
All right, my list, you'll just be like, what? So that's fine. All right, so I asked Rob what is his top five wrestling, I don't know how you label them, announcers.
Personalities.
Personalities.
On-mic personalities.
Yeah, not necessarily just the play-by-play guy, but the color guy and the backstage guy or girl. If that should be. All right, you want to do this 5-1 or what? Since you don't have a five, I can just give you my five.
Let's go 5-1.
All right.
Let's go 5-1.
My number five is someone who's been off TV for a couple weeks now because he just had another baby, and that would be Corey Graves. I think Corey Graves is, he adds so much to whatever broadcast he's on as the heel guy or just a guy who can throw something out there, knowledge that just makes the broadcast better. And I've always loved him on the mic, so I'm going to go with Corey Graves at number five.
Okay, for my number five, I had it open because I really wanted to work a backstage interviewer onto this list, but I can't. I tried to, I wanted to, love me some Kathy Kelly, wish I could, like, I just can't. For two reasons. Number one, most of the best backstage interviews are actually done by wrestlers, and number two, very rarely do they, like, get involved in a way that the personality shines. So, number five, I'm going Jerry the King Lawler. I think Jerry the King, by being a a guy who did a lot of wrestling, but he was primarily a mic guy, but could get in there and interact. I also think of some of the great moments that he provided to the Attitude Era. Puppies! Was like it, that era would not have been the same without Jerry the King. However you feel about him, aside from wrestling as a person, I think he was immensely necessary for being on the mic. Jerry the King.
All right. My number four, for some of the same reasons that you just said, but because this guy could and would get up from behind the mic and do some damage, I'm going with Taz. I always loved, especially when he first started, because you didn't expect him to go from the ring to where he went and be good. And he was really good and still is really good. I'm going with Taz, because if someone coming out there and picks a fight with the broadcast crew, Taz could get up and whip that dude's butt.
Concurred. I like that pick. Not on my list, but not far removed from it. Number four, buddy of the show, Tony Schiavone. And I'll tell you why I love Tony Schiavone. Was Schiavone like the most energetic guy? Not necessarily. Tony Schiavone to me was a dude who kind of was that perfect bridge between felt like a guy who was actually doing wrestling journalism and reporting in the make-believe world we all live in, but was also invested in it so that when the storyline was playing out around him, those reactions he had made him feel like a real person in a real world, not an actor who was on and off TV. On top of that, Schiavone was a part of some of the biggest moments, like, for instance, the creation of the NWO, that wouldn't have been the same if he wasn't the sympathetic character who got made to look like a butthole on TV by the really bad guys. Give me Schiavone.
All right, my number three is Tony Schiavone. So for all the reasons that you just said, and because one of my single most favorite things that I've ever done on radio was make Tony Schiavone laugh.
Oh, he was great.
That was when I did the earring question, and he was all serious, and he was all in it, and then he just broke. That, to me, that was just amazing.
Yep.
Getting to talk to one of the guys that I always wanted to talk to. He is number three. All right, number two is Jesse the Body Ventura. I think he is the definition of ex-wrestler heel announcer. He is the guy that makes you so mad, especially back in the 80s when I was during Hulkamania and all that stuff. He destroyed Hulk all the time. And, you know, I'm a Hulk guy because I'm a kid and I believe in taking my vitamins and saying my prayers. And there's Jesse the Body Ventura saying all that stuff. And, yeah, I got him at number two.
Did we skip three, didn't we? Yeah, we skipped three.
Yeah, I went from three to two. I went three and then I jumped to two.
Oh, you
went still
two.
Got three and two.
And two.
My bad.
Right. No,
my bad. I got excited.
All good. Don't go into business for yourself, brother.
I just
all right?
did.
All right. Number three for me, Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla Monsoon was not only a guy who took it very seriously, announced it as if it was a real for real sporting event. There are two different ways wrestling can be attacked. The first is what I think AEW has tried to do and is maybe kind of getting away from it a little bit is for a while there, AEW felt like it was genuinely a wrestling league, right? Like there was one goal, which was to be the champion of the league, much like it is in boxing. And then there's obviously the story side. I thought Gorilla treated the matches as if it was the first world, but was able to bleed over the drama of wrestling into that world and do so again in a way that he was always the biggest personality, but the show was never about him. And I think everybody else who sits in on a primary spot is following Gorilla Monsoon's example. You want to know the influence. What's the spot where everybody waits to come out onto the stage? The gorilla position.
Yeah,
it ain't called that for no reason.
And I didn't know that he was a wrestler. But
yep.
If you go back and look, not only was a wrestler, he was one of the bigger guys back in the day.
And I think that's part of the reason he was so good is he understood it while never having to lean on the I'm a wrestler position. Number two. It's Michael Cole, man. It's Michael Cole. Like, you can say whatever you want, but the guy's been around for a very, very long time. We have seen a bunch of different iterations. He was a dude that was able to be a heel announcer, but still the primary guy. So many times, like, a guy goes heel on the mic, and then you kind of have to shift them into the number two spot, or else they end up train wrecking the show. Michael Cole was able to do all that. Michael Cole having his own penalty box to protect him was one of the greatest gags of all time. Him getting into the ring at WrestleMania wearing like a classic wrestling singlet with a headset on, greatest all time. And the dude's still killing the game. And let's be real, as I've said a few times, Pat McAfee has unlocked, and Wade Barrett's doing a great job doing this too, have unlocked.
When he's not getting himself in trouble.
Also true. These two dudes have unlocked, and I do think this is at most because Vince isn't in his ear anymore. New Michael Cole is the best thing that's ever happened.
I do. He's on my list, but not in my top five. All right, here's my number one. My number one is Bobby the Brain Heenan. There's not enough words to talk about how entertaining Bobby the Brain Heenan was. In every era that he was in, whenever he was out there, you knew that you were going to either be ticked off, you're going to laugh your butt off, or you might do all that at the same time. That was a guy, and he was like a lot of times the third guy, but he was great. I loved Bobby the Brain Heenan.
My number one is Bobby the Brain Heenan. Who the hell else could it be? Listen. Bobby the Brain Heenan, and I've said for a very long time, again, I do have to, and I think a lot of us do, have to kind of separate the real-life people from the characters they portray. You can feel however you want to feel about Paul Heyman, but Paul Heyman is a wonderful promo guy. He can come out, he can be a part of a promo, he can cut the promo, he can respond to the promo, he can emotionally react, whatever. Gorilla Monsoon did that every segment of every show, every time. There was nobody, and he was so fast and so witty and so comical in the process. Like, will we ever have a moment quite as good as Shawn Michaels kicking Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window and having him say, "Look at that coward running away"? It's like, it's still funny. That was 40 years ago. And it's Bobby's call. That if Bobby didn't have that call, that's just a thing that happened in wrestling.
He was also the guy that kept pointing out that Hogan was the third man. Yeah. And then Hogan was the third man.
Like, he was so good at being that bad guy, but you could not help but just get attached to him. He set the bar for everybody else that would ever call a match. Honorary mention, 100% I agree with Jesse the Body Ventura for those idiots putting out there. I agree, honorable mention. As much as I can't stand him as a person, I think when he was prime, Vince McMahon has got to be an honorable mention. In his prime, and I'm talking with Bobby the Brain, I'm talking with the OG, Mr. McMahon was spectacular as a kind of the guy that was like, hey, this is a real company, treat it seriously, but also I'm kind of a butthole. I thought he was spectacular. He's on the list, and I'm going to throw one more because I see Will added to the list. I don't care. You say whatever you want to say. Mauro Ranallo, and I cannot believe that I forgot, because this guy might have bumped Jerry the King from the list. And you know what he's going to? I am terrible at this game. Mean Gene Okerlund, brother.
Well, yeah.
Mean Gene goes on Mauro the five goes, over Jerry the King.
I thought Mauro was good, but I think he tried too hard sometimes, and it came over that he was trying too hard.
I mean, he just did it in his boxing voice, and for me it worked. But I'm going to say that's honorable.
Mean Gene was the man back in the day.
I'm going to say Jerry the King takes the bump, because Jerry the King was just a... He was good. He had to do it. But like, Jerry the King was a less talented version of Bobby the Brain. I'm going to say we have a backstage guy, and I totally blanked. I'm a bad fan. Give me Mean Gene Okerlund, brother.
All right, real quick before we go, Wrestle Dream is this weekend. I just want to talk about three. There's a ton of matches, but let's just talk about three. First is a friend of the show, Darby Allin, going up against Jon Moxley in an I Quit match. That's just,
I got to tell you, I don't think I got the guts to watch that, Max.
Yeah, that's it's going to be bloody. Yeah. It's going to be. Yeah. I think they both pass out and there is no winner. You know, it could happen. Absolutely. From loss of blood. All right. AEW Women's World Champion match between friend of the show, Chris Statlander and Toni Storm.
I mean, you know who I'm pulling for. And I think Toni Storm has been the best thing in professional wrestling on the women's side for like 2-3 years now. But come on, it's buddy of the show, Chris Statlander. Absolute icon.
She is the current champ.
I do think Timeless Toni Storm is winning, though. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm going to stick with Statlander.
I'm seeing the Rob Brown show.
I think they're starting to just build this thing. Yep. And I don't know. All right, and finally, the last one that we have time for, AEW World Championship match between Hangman, Adam Page, and Samoa Joe.
This match is going to absolutely slap, dude. That is one. I'm not even going to make a pick. My pick is entertained, as in all of us will be. That match is going to slap.
I'm just going to say Joe's going to kill you. That's all I'm saying.
I love me some Millennial Cowboy. I think Samoa Joe is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, but just got hurt so many times that he never really got to take that.
And also really good on the mic.
Really good on the mic. Like that. Got to tell you, I'm in on Jurassic Express being back. Like, Jack Perry by himself doesn't work for me. As Jungle Boy, he does. And if you have missed old school tag team wrestling, Brodito versus the Don Callis family is going to be incredible, too. Brodito right now is the absolute pinnacle of when you take two guys that have nothing in common and shouldn't and put them together, and it just friggin' works. Brodito's great.
Just makes me miss House of Black. But
also true, but for what it is, Brodito slaps, and Okada and Takeshita are going to be incredible together.
Jersey Joe, you don't want none of that. Jersey Joe says Samoa Joe versus Jersey Joe.
Hey, unless it's a hot dog eating contest.
Well, there you go. Well, I don't know. It's Samoa Joe.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
All right, back after this, wrapping up the show next. Rob Alonso, the Rob Brown Show, is on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whoa, boss. How did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Milanzo, and you got a few minutes left here in the program. If you'd like to get some thoughts in, you're welcome to. 844-326-3663 is the number, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E, if you want to get at us in that direction. Before we wrap it up, got a couple of thoughts about the baseballing that is taking place in these United States of America, and also in Canada, I guess. The Seattle Mariners went up 2-0 very rapidly on the Toronto Blue Jays. Then they came back to Seattle. And in the first game back in Seattle, the Toronto offense went absolutely B-A-N-A-N-A-S. The Jays are bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. That's a shout out to Gwen Stefani back when she was cool. Rock and roll Gwen Stefani. Well, best Gwen Stefani.
Is she not cool anymore?
No, she's not cool anymore.
She's just old?
No, she dropped the edge and now she's all like, I don't know. She's not the same.
She's corporate Gwen?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a fan. Give me a rock and roll Gwen. Anyway, Toronto's offense popped off last night. here's the thing. I'm still going with Seattle to win this series. They've got, at this point, with a 2-1 lead, 4-2. And I think they can. I think they will. I think that last night you had a team that was on the edge of desperation, to be honest with you, in Toronto. It's one thing to be down 0-2. It's one thing to be down 0-2 and have to go on the road down 0-2. That's one thing. The desperation was real. And I said at the end of the show yesterday, I was kind of in a spot where I was hesitant to make a bet for either of the two teams that were down 0-2, Toronto and the AL, Milwaukee on the NL side. I said I was hesitant to pick them to win a game. I thought we might have two sweeps. I'm actually thinking I'm going to pick Milwaukee tonight. They're like plus 175 something, plus 180 underdogs. Here's the thing. The Tyler Glasnow going for the Dodgers. The LA Dodgers pitching has been miraculous, to be honest with you. Like, what they've done in these first two games is unbelievable. Blake Snell went 8 innings, faced the minimum in game number one. Frankly, I thought they should have let him go complete game. And then Yamamoto did go complete game with, what, 2-3 hits surrendered in game number two. That's against a Brew Crew team whose bats were exceptional. The way you beat the Brewers is make sure that their bullpen is never a factor, right? If it gets to the point where you're in a game where the bullpen is going to factor in, Milwaukee's going to win that more than they're not. They're going to win that 80% of the time. The Dodgers, by having, I mean, not elite, like better than elite starting pitching in games one and two, created two games where the Brewers' bullpen was irrelevant. Didn't matter. It never got to the point where the bullpen had any say in what was happening. Somebody's going to have a bad day. And I'm willing to take a bit of a sprinkle out on it being Tyler Glasnow tonight. It's been a minute since he pitched. He has now had to go from L.A., to Milwaukee, now back to L.A. Yes, they got the night off, but it's a travel day. Like, I'm willing to bet that it is him, A, and B, much as Toronto was last night. If you're Milwaukee, you are not on the edge of desperation right now. You are full-on in desperation right now. You are on in full-on desperation because with two more games consecutive in L.A., you cannot afford to let LA carry momentum into a sweep opportunity where they have games 4 and 5 at the crib and they only need one more to put the series away. I think you're in desperation mode. And there are two ways that teams in desperation mode respond. The first is they press, or the second is they go, everybody's got to get back to what we were doing, man. And Milwaukee is a well-coached team. I don't think Milwaukee's a team that presses. I don't think Milwaukee is the type of team that goes in there and says, we've got to go hit 5 home runs like Toronto did last night at Seattle. I think they're a team that says, yo, the game we were playing won us the division. The game we were playing is the reason that we were the one seed and playing those two games out front at home. Just go back to that. That's what Toronto did. There is a reason that we are the one seed in the AL. There is a reason that we screamed past the Yankees down the stretch. It's because this is the ball we played. Our front end is going to hit the long ball. Our back end is going to play small ball to get them around the bases. And our pitching is going to be good. I think Milwaukee goes back to that too. So give me the Brew Crew at the crib tonight. And give me tomorrow two games that feel like they are pivotal. Because if the two teams that are down 0-2 tie those series up at 2-2 and have all the momentum, everything we thought we knew about these two series immediately changes.
All right, time to look at what is X, and Rob will tell you why. The first thing that's X and is Troy Aikman.
I saw Troy Aikman was Xing. I did not see why. I'm going to assume that he had some comments about somebody.
He's got some beef with Caleb Williams. And or he said some stuff about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams didn't like it. Caleb Williams' coach didn't like it. I think he said he wasn't very good or something. And
well, that's a dumb take.
Compared to Aikman, I mean, you know. So now a lot of people are putting up stats of other quarterbacks against Aikman, trying to show that Aikman wasn't really that good. even though he did win a couple Super Bowls.
I mean, he did, and Aikman is absolutely good. But to say you're not me, therefore you're bad.
That winning a Super Bowl doesn't make you great.
By the way, just for comparison, a guy that, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I did. Just for comparison.
Wow, look at you. You took so much joy in that.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I just realized I'm on a roll now.
I'm smiled.
So, last year there was a game where C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams played, the Texans and the Bears played, and after the game was over, C.J. Stroud walked over to Caleb Williams and was like, yo, keep your head up, hang in there, you're going to be great in this league, you're going to... And C.J. Stroud is a guy that Troy Aikman praised quite a bit his rookie year, I remember hearing it. Since that game, C.J. Stroud, 3,832 passing yards, 19 touchdowns, 15 picks, Caleb Williams, 3,989 yards, 160 more yards, 27 touchdowns, that is a full 8 more touchdowns, and only 5 picks, 10 fewer touchdowns. So, Troy, if you're going to bag on Caleb Williams, I better hear you bringing the same energy to C.J. Stroud that you spent all last season gassing up, because if you don't, you're being hypocritical.
Well, Houston's pretty bad. They're probably not playing on a game that he's broadcasting.
That's also fair.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Jared Leto.
Okay, I did see this earlier. I don't know if this is the reason. There's two things. Number one, apparently Tron Ares is just tanking right now, which doesn't shock me because, to be honest, Lonzo's the only guy I know that had any discussion of interest. And even that, you weren't like, I'm not going to see it because of Jared Leto.
Yeah, the effects were amazing on IMAX.
Was the movie good, though?
It was good. It wasn't great.
Okay.
I mean, if a movie comes out in October and it's not a Halloween movie, it's not going to be great.
That is fair. I told Lonzo when the commercial started running, I'm like, I think I would see it because it looks good, but also, like, I can't stand Jared Leto. However, there is one other thing that I saw on Reddit a few minutes ago. Jared Leto is the first actor whose movies, his filmography, has a gross of over, I believe it was $1 trillion. If you combine the profits of every movie Jared Leto's been in, they have made over $1 trillion. I don't think any of those are because of Jared Leto, but that is a feather in the cap. But it is of the same Hollywood that has seen, oh God, I was looking at it earlier. There was some like dumb comedy director from the 90s that has like as many Oscars as Scorsese does. And it's like, maybe we don't take Hollywood numbers as a gospel.
The main reason they're saying that he killed the Tron franchise. Here's the thing. There's been 3 Tron movies over what, like 45 years? How's it a franchise? I mean, I love Tron. And here's the demographic of the people in the theater when we went to see it. Younger dudes that I guaranteed are gamers, and older people who saw the original. There was no in between, and that's fine. It's a gamer movie.
Yes, it is a movie based on a game. Do I think it has to be a gamer movie? I don't necessarily. What I will say is,
you know what? I've seen it. You haven't.
That's fine. No, I've seen the first two. And I don't think it is I think it is a movie based on and surrounding a game, but it is not a gamer movie.
Well, do you go inside of a video game? I mean, that's kind of
But this one doesn't take place inside of a video game. This is the video game comes out, right? Is it in the game? I don't know. I've seen it.
There is time in not only a current video game, but time in the original video game.
So put all that, whatever it is, fine, great, awesome. That is the crowd. It's a niche crowd, right? It's a niche crowd.
Exactly.
And at this point, as somebody who travels in the gaming circle, I don't know anybody who's interested in it. And I'm not going to, like, Jared Leto didn't kill the Tron video game, the Tron franchise. I just think they made two pretty mediocre movies off the gate, and then they banked on
The original was.
The last two in this trilogy. You're talking about the first one of this trilogy?
The first one was amazing at its time when it came out and what it was doing. You can give me the skeptical look.
Skeptical. It's my opinion. It's subjective.
Probably wasn't even alive.
No, I am talking about in the most recent run of Tron movies. Weren't there two before this one?
No.
Of the most recent
one? There's only 3 altogether.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Then the last one they made was not good. It wasn't bad, it just wasn't good. Everybody I've talked to has said this one isn't good and bad, it just is what it is. We are at a point now, and I believe this, and I actually want to talk about this tomorrow on a Friday, because shut up, it's Friday. I believe this. Somebody made the point the other day. Most movies that are out right now are losing a buttload of money. It's really simple. The budgets have all gone up, the price of actors have gone up, but the price of everything's gone up, the economy sucks, none of us can afford to go to a bunch of movies like we used to, and streaming services are carrying everything. If you didn't go see Superman in the theaters, you had to wait, what? 2 weeks and it was on 8 3 weeks.
It was more than after it left theaters. Yeah, but that
two,
was
3 weeks.
He did that on purpose because Peacemaker was coming out and they wanted to make
maybe
it make
so.
Sense.
But that's, the reality
well,
of the situation
that's what,
he,
that's what James Gunn
fine.
Said.
The so. Reality of the situation is to go see Superman in theaters in the big screen. I was out like $60. That's 3 months of HBO.
All right, we got to go. But since you poo pooed Tron, the last thing is asking is Deloitte.
I got nothing.
You don't know about what AOC said about Deloitte?
No, I don't. What is
how they've been dumping chemicals in rivers and stuff?
Haven't checked in. Lately.
You remember who Deloitte is? Because we talked about Deloitte like
yeah,
last
that's
week,
the accounting company.
Their accounting
right?
company. Yeah. Yes.
I got nothing. I don't know. That is something I will go look at today. I mean, if she said something dumb, she gets called out for saying something dumb. Just like, hey, I'm going to take World Cup games away from major cities. It's dumb. You're getting called out for it being dumb.
You can't
dumb.
Bring it back around. I just did. Whatever. Fine.
That's it for us. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being here. If you didn't enjoy the show, it's your own fault. Come back tomorrow. It's hashtag Friday Football Fiesta. We're breaking down all the games and whatever else. Rob Alonso, you the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.